This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time to head out to the BetQL guest hotline. You can access the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Get 3 free days of access there. We're joined by Nicole Auerbach, NBC Sports college football and basketball insider. For this Saturday's big college football slate, she's on College Countdown at 3 o'clock on NBC and Peacock ahead of Notre Dame-Stanford. And then at 7 p.m. Eastern on Big Ten College Countdown on NBC and Peacock ahead of one of the biggest games of the season, number 2 Ohio State at number 3 Oregon. Mm. That's at 7:30 Eastern.
Is that the Terps cakes?
It is not. No, that's a lower-level Big Ten game this weekend.
Right. And that's tonight, Friday Night Lights in College Park. Tomorrow.
Nicole, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We appreciate the time. So that Ohio State-Oregon game is just a monster. Ohio State's outscored Michigan State and Iowa 73-14 in their last two, and the Ducks have throttled UCLA and Michigan State in Big Ten play. It's still kind of weird for me to think that UCLA's in the Big Ten, but this is the new age of college football. We have to look at these super conferences, but this is a massive, massive showdown between the Ducks and the Bucks, 7:30 on NBC and Peacock.
Yeah, it is. And, it's funny because you mentioned realignment and, for all the hand-wringing about it, it does give us games like this way more often than we used to. I mean, this is the kind of game you'd schedule and it'd be like, oh, yeah, 12 years from now, you get a one-off game between Oregon and Ohio State, and here you go. It could be the game of the year in college football because – you've got two national championship caliber teams. I think Ohio State certainly has the clear edge coming in. You mentioned how well they've been playing their last couple of games. There's just talent all over that field. We all know they went all in on NIL for talent retention, also getting guys out of the portal, and they brought in some of the best players like Caleb Downs and Quinshon Judkins. And meanwhile, like Oregon, this is a team that I thought could be a national champion, could be a Heisman Trophy winner in quarterback Dylan Gabriel. They've definitely had some ups and downs. The offensive line has gotten better since the early part of the season, but Dylan Gabriel's thrown 3 red zone interceptions in the last 2 games. So it's definitely, I think, a fascinating game. The game's in Eugene. We're going to learn a lot about Ohio State and their championship or bust narrative of their season by going into this hostile environment, traveling a couple of time zones to do it. Mm. But I think that they have the clear edge coming in from just the way that they're playing and just the embarrassment of riches across the field.
Nicole, I don't know if people are talking enough about the actual travel. You just mentioned the time zone thing. I think I read that Big Ten teams that have to travel at least 2 time zones this year are 1-7. Mm. I think they're 1-7, and you just talked about Ohio State having to travel. I follow Virginia Tech very closely, and they went out to Stanford last week, and they handled their business. But in the ACC, Cal is going to make – they've already played at Auburn. They've already played at Florida State. They're going to go to Pitt this week. So that's 3 cross-country trips in the last 6 weeks, and they still got to play at Wake Forest. I mean, it's the travel for some of these teams is just an absurdity.
Yeah, and I think this year everyone's trying to figure out what works best. And then I'm sure like the operations folks for all these teams are going to gather together and say, hey, like, this was good for us. This didn't work for us. The interesting part on that Big Ten stat is the one team that won was Indiana. They went out to UCLA. And I actually talked to their ops folks before they went out, and they did something that's different than most teams. Most teams are flying out Thursday for a Saturday game when you're traveling that far. They went Friday. They got to their hotel at like 7:30 p.m. because that's the normal time they would get to their hotel if they were going to just bus over to Purdue. So they were trying really hard not to make it seem any different, even though it was a longer flight, and any different routine, even though, maybe your body's waking you up at a slightly different time. So it's interesting, does Indiana then say to everyone else, hey, like, we think this worked maybe a little bit better, while most teams are going in on Thursday. So we'll learn a lot, I think, once we have a whole year of data on the travel. but it's absolutely a very real factor, certainly in the Big Ten. And then, you know, a couple of those losses are USC going east. I think it's also really hard going east, or when you go out west and then have to go east the following week. Everyone's just right. very much on guard about all of these travel issues.
It's crazy. I mean, NFL teams are used to it. The college teams are not used to it like this. All right, so getting back to the Oregon-Ohio State game, who do you like in this? Who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I like Ohio State. I just think that they are just so kind of bulletproof a little bit, if you think about it. I mean, I think they've got the best running back duo in the country. I think they have, you know, we have one of the two amazing true freshman receivers. Jeremiah Smith is just absolutely unreal. And we all saw what Ryan Williams at Alabama can do. But Jeremiah Smith is, I think, going to be the best receiver of that whole crazy run of phenomenal receivers that Ohio State's had in recent years that are all in the NFL now. So I just think, you know, Will Howard, transfer quarterback, he is an upgrade from Kyle McCord. You know, we'll see what he is like in this big game and this big moment, but he has so many different playmakers around him that I feel confident in that. I like the defense, Jim Knowles, the way that he's really put his imprint on them. And then Caleb Downs comes in from Alabama at the safety position. He's one of the best defensive players in the country. So they're just really, really sound. And then Oregon, I've just got those questions with Dylan Gabriel's red zone interceptions. He's really struggled when he's had pressure. He kind of shuts down a little bit or panics a little bit. He's running a lot less this year as well, and kind of staying in the pocket and going through his checkdowns. You know, can he go out there and win Oregon a game? He's supposed to be that kind of player. He's supposed to be a Heisman Trophy contender. We'll see. I don't know how well Oregon's going to be able to run the ball against Ohio State. They also have good receivers and tight ends. But there's just a lot of pressure, I think, for them to have to continue to keep up against a prolific Ohio State offense. I think they're going to need touchdowns, not field goals. They're going to need to make sure to take care of the ball. It's just a lot to have maybe more of a perfect performance on the Oregon side, which is why I would give the edge to the Buckeyes.
And then the Chip Kelly factor. Well, how much of an edge is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting to see. I mean, he was obviously so happy to get away from being a head coach and just getting to coach and just getting to do the football pieces. And I think we've seen some of that with the creativity in the run game. And again, you have two of the best running backs in the country, so it's easy to play around and mess around with that. But yeah, I mean, I've got to assume that based on the schedule, we talk a lot about Ohio State hasn't really played many people. Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't really been tested. But I'm sure he's got some stuff in his bag that he wants to break out in this game too. So, by all accounts, that's been going very, very well, and he's obviously very happy to be back in the X's and O's more.
So you got the Red River rivalry game between Texas, who's number one in the country, and Oklahoma. Some interesting quarterback storylines here. Of course, Arch Manning has been playing quarterback, but I think yours is going to start this week. And on the other side, Michael Hawkins Jr. is a true freshman, right?
Yeah, he's the first true freshman to start this game for Oklahoma in program history. But they needed a change. I mean, if anyone watched Jackson Arnold early in the season, that offense was anemic. It wasn't giving them a chance to win. And, you know, this is a Brent Venables program. The defense is always going to be solid. It should keep them in games. So they needed to make a change. They did in that Tennessee game. And then Hawkins, you know, got his first start against Auburn, a bounce back win. They were fortunate enough to win that game. So again, you got to feel really good about Texas. Really the only question coming into this for me, and I know they lost to Oklahoma and they weren't supposed to last year, but this year it just feels like these rosters are in totally different places. The question is just, you know, is there rust for Quinn Ewers? He's been out for a few weeks, but I'm not too worried about that. He was playing at a Heisman Trophy caliber before that. So I think that, you know, Texas is going to roll in this game, but this is a weird one. Again, last year, you don't even need to go that far back to realize weird things happen in this game. Right. We always say that about rivalries, but especially this one where the crowd split 50-50 at the Cotton Bowl, and it's just it's a scene. It's this one, weird things absolutely are on the table here.
All right, so Nicole, let's talk about just the absurdity of the loss Bama had last week against Vandy. And the entire staff of Alabama was outcoached by Vanderbilt's staff. When you hold the ball for 42 minutes, you're getting outcoached. Now that the playoff has expanded to 12 teams, you know, you can lose two games, and depending on who they're to, and you can still get in. So I know I'm not going on a limb. The winner of the Ohio State-Oregon game is pretty much a lock for the playoff. But what does Alabama need to show us against? Now, South Carolina's not very good, but after what happened last week, what do they need to show us to make the voters go, okay, all right, that's the Alabama we expected?
Yeah, I think it just needs to be boring, right? It needs to be like, right, you know, take from the jump, you come out, you build a lead, you hang on to it, you extend it. You're not letting them hang around. It's not one of those games. They've had a few early in the season where it was just like slow starts. USF, for example, again, 2 years in a row where it took until like, you know, midway through the third quarter to start pulling away. They need to do that. They need to show that they're focused and that they can learn from a loss like Vanderbilt, because you're right. With the new playoff, you know, you're still in the hunt. You're very much still alive. They have the best win to date out of anyone who is a playoff contender. So the path is there. You just need to see how they respond to something that obviously none of those players have dealt with. It's funny, I'm in Nashville as we're talking, and man, like, they're still buzzing here. They're like, my Uber driver was like, oh yeah, it looks like we have a real football team now. I was like,
right.
It was great. But yeah, I mean, this is something.
Did they find the goalposts yet in the Cumberland River?
So apparently, I think they fished them out and they're selling parts of them, which is pretty cool, actually. Like, that's a good way to. It's to help offset the cost of the, you know, they got fined for storming the field.
Right.
But I mean, that's cool. You get like a little piece of the goalpost forever from a win like that. But yeah, it's this is very real. Like, we're going to learn a lot about Kalen DeBoer and the coaching staff, as you mentioned, but also the Alabama team and just sort of like how this new world where you don't get, you know, completely eliminated after a loss like that. How does that work? How does that motivate? And how does this team respond?
Hey, I just wanted to jump to the Big 12 before we let you go here. When you kind of look at the stands, I think the Big 12 is just going to be wild the rest of the way. But Colorado is playing Kansas State at home, and Kansas State usually doesn't play very well out there in Boulder. I don't know what their streak is, but they haven't played very well in Boulder over the last, you know, 30, 40 years. So, now Kansas State's ranked. Colorado's kind of surprising people at 4-1. Can Colorado and Deion get their team, if they beat Kansas State, right, which is certainly a possibility, can they be in the mix for a Big 12 championship?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't think you can really write very many teams off in that conference, to your point. I mean, it's been wild. Like, they're so close and bunched up from a talent perspective that, you know, you just, it really does feel like a league where anybody can beat anybody on any given week. And I would have put Colorado not in that category to start the season,
right,
even though
either.
I do think, you know, that they're better, but like, they were so bad. You know, there's such a clear drop off and the line play and all of that. But their win against UCF a few weeks ago completely changed my mind. It was just really thorough, really dominant. It's a middle of the pack Big 12 team, and if you're able to do that, I do think you're going to be able to contend with the Kansas States, the BYUs, the Utahs, who are in maybe that top tier that we think in the Big 12. So yeah, I'm absolutely including Colorado in that. And that game, it's the late night game, absolutely worth staying up for, because, you know, again, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, appointment television. But you're right. I mean, they could actually win this game. K-State could really use it. They lost to BYU already, so they need to start thinking about the Big 12 standings and the chance to get to the title game. So it's actually a huge game.
I
just think, like, the environment's going to be awesome, the playmakers on both sides. It's going to tell us quite a bit about both the teams.
Good stuff.
Nicole, thanks a lot for the time. We really do appreciate it. We know you're going to be super busy on Saturday. College Countdown, 3 p.m. Eastern on NBC and Peacock, ahead of Notre Dame Stanford. Then the big one, 7 p.m. on Big Ten College Countdown, NBC and Peacock again, ahead of Ohio State, Oregon. That's number 2 versus number 3 at 7:30 p.m. Thanks again. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the game.
Yep.
Thank you.
Nicole Auerbach, NBC Sports College Football and Basketball Insider. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender.